Stripe Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the podcast yesterday, all things Xander Schauffele coming off his first major championship win. A lot of feedback on the changes that he has made. Some from the camera angle police, which is always nice to hear from them. You know, hey, that camera's half an inch to the right on the one pick versus the other. So I'm not sure how you can determine that the club is more down the line versus the one that we see on the left. Those camera angles have to be perfect in order to make that, you know, critique, if you will. Anyway, appreciate you being here. Our man is back, Keith Stewart. He avoided any arrest in Kentucky. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I was not detained in Kentucky, Louisville. Yeah. What a wild week. What a great week. Let's get into it. Pleasure to be with you. Always on a Tuesday, Stripe Show.
You you look a little flushed. Like, I know you do a lot of shows. Looks like, did you get a little heated like in the one before, talking about the PGA? Am I going to strike a nerve here if I, get your thoughts on 21 under winning a major championship?
I mean, you know, just you throw out the questions and I'll give you my opinion. you can tread as lightly as you want. Doesn't matter to me.
Let me set it up this way. Yesterday, on the podcast, I talked about how you and I, going into this season, we were a little down on Xander. And we had our reasons why. Partly, I think some of the influence as of late, at the end of last year, from his dad, a lot of smoke around, you know, the Ryder Cup, and it just didn't feel right with Xander. I think not only on the course, what we saw situationally, but also off the course in the way I think he was, you know, the way he was coming across. And now, as of late, and I said this on the podcast a few weeks ago, I like what I hear from Xander. I like what I see from Xander. He looks a little more humbled. I think his team's intact with Chris Como, who's done a good job lengthening out his swing and getting it more down the line versus laid off, which has made him longer off the tee. I think he looks very in control of his golf swing. We know he has no weaknesses. And I think, you know, look, I know he got caught the week before, but he did look more comfortable. And it was just a matter of time before he could make some big putts down the stretch. And that was the difference. He made some big putts on Sunday.
You know, there's an old saying, no one's ever really succeeded in life until it failed.
Yeah.
Right. And my opinion of what I knew about Xander going into the start of the year was that I just felt like there was a lot of dad influence there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is for a couple of those guys on tour. And I feel like they're being held back by that. Yeah. Mainly because there are very few sons out there that don't want to make their fathers proud. And that's very difficult to do in that arena. You know, where winning is splitting hairs and being perfect. It's just so, so difficult. And to hear that his dad had the wherewithal to say, I'm going to take a step back. I love this new relationship you have with Chris and you guys roll with it. And obviously Como's having a moment. You know, he's no doubt, transformed his game and turned him into a much more consistent superstar. And I mean, here's a guy that's as humble and as hardworking as anyone in the game. You know, you never hear his name ever in an extended conversation about LIV or something controversial, whatever. He shows up, does his job, works hard on the Ryder Cup teams and so on and so forth. So for him to win the other day and to be so relieved, happy,
yeah,
excited, it next to the Wanamaker trophy. I mean, I was standing right there on the edge of the green when he, you know, met up with Como and his brothers there and his wife and everyone's right there. And like, you get to see like the, you know, the weight of the world was off his shoulders. And you have to be happy for somebody like that because he's been a good guy going about it the whole time. And we all beat him up pretty bad and he doesn't really fight back on that. And, you know, at the end of the day, going into this week, I was not confident in Xander, right? And now we have to take him for real and good for him, man. Good for him. Anyone that's believed in Xander through this process of the last 2 years of him, you know, transitioning his game into this Como swing and then you know, the power and everything else that he's done, take 100 victory laps, because that's a good that's a good winner.
Yeah, let's mention his putting coach, longtime putting coach Derek Uyeda as well, who you know, I think his name needs to be said. And Xander made some big putts, and that par putt on the front nine was big after kind of flubbing it through the fringe there. And then anytime you make a winning putt outside of 5 feet on the 72nd hole, that's, you know, that's big time. And so,
legit.
You know, I give him a lot of credit. I don't think he's, you know, he's the barking dog, you know, and is going to put his foot on your throat and win more than he loses. You know what, you know, I think that it takes sometimes when you're going against these superstars, but I think that, he's certainly grown a lot. There's no doubt about it. I think both on and off the golf course, I think his dad having the self-awareness to kind of disconnect was smart. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Huge.
And now I think you're seeing Xander spread his wings. And if that would have happened at the end of last year, I would have been more optimistic on where we are. Or, you know, before more optimistic heading into this season. But I think since that time, it's no coincidence you're seeing the growth from Xander. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to win a bunch more majors. I think he's going to win more tournaments. Now, winning a major championship, look, it's hard. I mean, especially when you got a player like Bryson DeChambeau, who I give a lot of credit for in his growth as well. I mean, who would have thought, Keith, and then we'll get to Charles Schwab Challenge, but who would have thought that it took Bryson to jump ship from the PGA Tour, go get paid a lot of money from the Saudis, and all of a sudden now he's a favorite in the U.S. he's like everybody loves him now.
I mean, he's a YouTube golfer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost the way you worded that, I think you worded it incorrectly. Okay. I think he's more and that's not to like say you said it wrong. I just think that the transition that the golf world is going through in the eyes of the media and also the populace in the way that they're digesting it, people attach him more to YouTube now than they do to Liv. And you could see it. I walked all 18 holes with he and Victor, and mainly because I had a vested interest in Bryson and I thought I was going to get to see something really cool. And I don't get to see Bryson every week, right? I get to see him a couple times a year. So I get to see him at Augusta here. I'll get to see him next month at Pinehurst, and that's basically it. So like, seeing him live is like what it used to be to watch Tiger. He's so long, and it's almost like a combination of Tiger's athleticism and what we saw this week, which was like Arnold Palmer's support. Like the crowd yelling for him was just unbelievable on Sunday. And you just never heard that before around him. You know, that moment where he goes to throw the ball to the kid, right? I was standing like 20 feet away from that when it happened. But I was in front of him up in the road. And as it happened, I like turned around because people were all yelling and there was this disturbance and it seemed odd or out of place. And I looked back and like, good on him to like take the putter and point it at the guy that ran away that was like, you know, probably 20 or 30 something years old and like stole the ball from the kid because he caught it first and his arm was longer. And like Bryson jumping in there and doing that, like, those types of things really resonate with an audience. You know, they like getting arrested really resonated with the news world. You know, like it's made Bryson really likable, you know, and in his post round press conference, it was revealing to me how much he's accepted becoming an entertainer and how much he has mentioned YouTube's really helped him get comfortable.
Yeah.
Being a golf sports celebrity, I guess, at times. So, I really enjoyed the Bryson show.
Yep.
I really enjoyed having Victor back. I just love Victor.
Yeah.
Because Victor is like a CIA agent, man. When he gets going, he is just a train killer. I mean, he is just all gas on the pedal, man. And, those two feeding off one another was one of the best rounds of golf I've ever gotten the humble opportunity to walk with. I mean, inside the ropes with those guys going off and the crowd around them, that scene on the sixth green, the same place where Xander made that par putt where Bryson knocks it in with like 3 feet of right to left break from off the green, and then, you know, from 220 or whatever, Victor's hitting in a club and he makes birdie because he hits it to like 6 feet. I mean, the crowd and everyone just like, as the holes kept building up, the crowd kept getting thicker and thicker, and it just was so much fun. yeah. so much fun.
Yeah, it was.
And nice believe it or not,
go ahead.
But and just believe it or not, you know, like I don't really think anyone cared that was there that he was 20 under, meaning Bryson.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it was good to see big name players, you know, feel like that they're doing the right thing for their game. It's moving in the right direction. You know, because we've talked so much about how you get to the top of the board and these big names, and there's these all these weaknesses in the game.
Yeah.
You're frustrated with this particular part of this player's game, and you're frustrated with the direction that this player has taken Victor Hovland over the last few months. And, you know, just like what's going on here? And then I walk away from the PGA, and I feel like, damn, I love the decisions that Xander Schauffele has made off of the golf course. I love what I'm hearing from Xander. It feels like it's moving the right way. Bryson DeChambeau has some self-awareness now. He's moving the right way. Victor Hovland, quit messing with your golf swing. Get back to the roots that helped you with Joe Mayo. You feel good about that again. Like, yeah, this is it. This is
Colin, right?
Colin Morikawa. This is what it should feel like. And I got to tell you, it's the first time I think I've been overwhelmed with this many good vibes about what I'm seeing with a lot of these good players. Now, there's still always a couple that you kind of question, like, what the hell is Scottie Scheffler doing dragging a cop down the street and getting arrested? But that's we're not gonna go down that path. Hopefully he's back home now, and you know, let's hope that Fort Worth PD is gonna kind of let our boy get to work. So all right, on that note. Let's go. Charles Schwab Challenge.
All right.
Colonial Country Club, Par 7. I've played this a couple times. I'm a big fan. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Fort Worth. I like it. Like downtown. Right. I used to do some stuff with Ben Hogan Golf and got to spend some time in there. Got a cool little downtown area, some good little spots. And Colonial's interesting. You know, it's not my favorite, but it's fun. You know, it's kind of that shorter test. It's now par 70. And, you know, look, you go out, you play Colonial. It's a handshake out of the gate. The first two holes are the easiest holes. Then it just hits you with Hogan's Alley hard, you know, 3, 4, 5, three of the most difficult holes. But at the end of the day, like when you look at this course, Keith, and the type of player that we're looking for, I mean, this is all about approach and putting, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of A and B here.
Yeah, I think that historically, what it's taken to win there is only going to be more emphasized through the restoration. And, you know, you said there at one point, you know, this course has kind of been this while we've been there for – this will be the 78th edition, right? So we've been there for 77 years. Yep. But in the last 11 months, Gil Hanse and his team has transformed this place. So I'm really actually kind of curious to see how well they could emphasize the ground game. And if it makes any changes. So I'm super optimistic that this week could be different, a different style of Colonial test.
Okay.
Still making approach and scoring the priority, but it may even be more important than the past.
Off the tee seems to be pushed out a little bit. You got the dog legs here. Kind of force your hand into certain landing spots. You know, I think historically around the greens been one of the easier places to get up and down. I didn't necessarily play it and feel like, all right, this is a super tough test, you know, around the green.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, like you said, you know, the approach game, a lot of wedges, short irons, 125 to 150, 150 to 175. You're going to see a lot of that. And then, you know, with the putting, right? Like you're going to. You got to win in the approach and you got to win the putting. But to your point, you know, some of the changes maybe will be interesting to look at. Old school clubhouse. I played with a member. They leave the scoreboard up there on 18. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. We're walking up 18 and the member hits his ball over there on the left and he's behind the scoreboard, but like 30 yards back. And so he's like, yeah, I got it. I've got this shot. I've done it before. So he's trying to hit his lob wedge up and over the scoreboard and back onto the green. And we're standing up on the green and he hits it and I'll hear this bang. I got it. I got it. I can try it again. All right. Bang.
Gotta love golfers.
It was fantastic. Oh, yeah. Him trying to get the ball up and over the scoreboard and just bam. Like, man, I'm glad he's a member and I'm not over there as a guest trying to do that. I might be walked off. But anyway, people are great. Story. Great city. Long history, as you mentioned. Let's get to it. Charles Schwab Challenge, Colonial Country Club, par 70. You want to go first on our famous...
I'm having me this week a hoagie sandwich.
Oh, Tom, okay.
I'm hoagie. Middle of the board. Roughly plus 5,000 right now.
Hoagie Meister.
Yeah.
23rd at the PGA. Positive six approach. Positive 2.8 putting. I see where your head's at. I see where your head's at. Approach and putting.
Hard to figure me out.
Yeah.
Well, unless we were married, then it'd be tough. But like doing what we do, it's not hard to figure me out.
The dude was on a heater in approach earlier in the year. I mean, like positive 5, 6, 7, 8. He's a ball striking machine, kind of an interesting swing that, man, he can match up the path in the face with the best of them. And he played good at the PGA. Short game hurt him a little bit. But yeah, approach and putting. I like it. I'm going to go this week.
Who you got?
You know, This thing about Xander, you know, getting the club more down the line, I've kind of exhausted it as I did yesterday. And it might be like what the cool kids are doing. Here's one for you that wants to get the club more down the line versus laid off. Jordan Spieth, which we'll get to in a second. He knows a thing or two about this place. So there's Jordan on the left trying to, you know, when he was playing great, he had it more down the line versus when he was struggling. Look at that club. Yeah. Xander, very similar. I talked about Sahith Theegala going through the same exact changes. Ricky Fowler falls into that category. Daniel Berger falls in that category. But hold the boat. Not everybody's trying to get it more vertical and down the line. Look at Max. At some point, Max is going to put this thing together, isn't he? At some point here this year, like it just feels like with Max – that things are going to come together. Now, he was 35th at the PGA. But look, I think I've talked about most of the year with Max. I think he's been trying to find the iron game. I don't think it's been quite as crisp as we've seen it in the past. Yeah. And I do feel like the last two times we've seen Max, Wells Fargo, he was 8th, PGA, 35th. His iron game was much, much better. And it's moving in the right direction. We know Max can go plus 4, plus 5, plus 6 with the putter.
Yeah, sure.
And his driver, all right, look, the ball striking hasn't been, you know, as good as we've seen it. So I'm willing to look past maybe a few boo-boos with the driver. I like what I'm seeing with the iron game. I know I can get it with the putter. And it's just kind of it's time, right? It's time with Max. He's kind of been, I don't know, running in place a little bit. And I think he's gonna find a little fire here this week. And look, we need some firepower that can go up and beat Scotty. We need some firepower that can go up there and knock the big boy down. Cause you know, Scotty's coming out. He's like, Hey boys, last week, I gave you one, right? I gave you one. So be ready. I know that I can't just let my driver free will it maybe as much here, but I'm coming with my number one iron game. I'm coming with my improvement in my putter. I think Max plus 5, plus 6, he's got it to be able to go toe-to-toe down on Sunday. So give me the California guy in Texas.
I mean, I can argue a little against it just because his ball striking hasn't been at the level that Max likes.
It's coming. It's coming. His iron game is on. Yeah. It's on the way up.
I spent some time one evening last week with Mark Blackburn and Jamie Mulligan. And, you know, I asked the guys about how their guys are doing and everything. And, you know, Max is just working. He is working. And, you know, but I mean, his scrambling ability, his putter and everything is what kept his season on track. And, I mean, that's the only thing I can say against it is that he's grinding over making some changes and getting better and better. At some point, much like Xander, it's going to start to click and then you're going to see Max be the superstar that he is. You know, you don't perform in a Ryder Cup in that kind of cauldron and not be capable of playing some really elite golf and at least going toe-to-toe with Scotty for 1 week at a time.
That's what I'm looking for, right?
All
right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for is the firepower, the high ceiling. He's down there at, 20-1 right now. All right, he's trending. I can't go Spieth. Like, I just can't go there. I can't go Spieth. And frankly,
by five.
Well, I know. And frankly, like Morikawa, who's number two in the betting odds right now. I mean, you realize last week, Morikawa, that was his best statistical short game that he's ever had in his career. I mean, that dude saved a lot of shots last week.
Yeah.
So, all right. I mean, I love seeing Morikawa up there. I think there's some nice things happening. But if I'm going to the top of the board and I'm like, I need someone that's going to go toe to toe with Scotty. All right. I'm just calling Spieth. No, I know Finau's had a decent history here, believe it or not, and ran up there a little bit last week. There's English, Harmon, couple bull. All right, give me home.
Yeah, I mean, he is a superstar, and you're going to need somebody like that to go this week.
What do you make of Spieth? You're out there. I mean, what is happening with Jordan Spieth? I mean, we know that at times it looks phenomenal, right? Like there he is. And then at other times he's talking to Michael and it just looks like, man, this guy is off the rails. I mean, we're looking at one top 10 since Waste Management, one top 10.
Whoa. I mean, he shot 73 on Sunday when the whole world went uber low, right? He and Colin gave me the most pause on Sunday when I looked at the board and I processed it at the end of the night.
Yep.
And I was sitting there and I was just scrolling through at my hotel room. It was late at night. And I was like, man, I go, Colin did not show up today shooting even par when all those guys at the top shot a minimum of 4 under par. So that's
had
like,
to feel like 80. Had to feel like 80.
Oh my God. It couldn't have felt good. Right. And then the other guy was, I was looking down and there was only like a couple of guys that we would know their names that shot over par that day. Right. And Jordan shot 2 over. And I honestly think he's injured. I honestly think the wrist is a concern. I know it pops in and out on him and such. I know the people I think that if it feels good, then, he could play golf, but it's really disrupting his interaction with the turf at high speed. And what's been awful, his approach game. So you can't bank on it. But
his driver's been fantastic. So you think it's something, hitting the ground.
I think his wrist is hurt. So I'm subjectively inserting the fact that if your lead wrist was hurt, right? Like hitting the turf would not be the most fun thing to do in the world.
Right. Yeah.
So, he's driving the ball like Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. He's driving very well.
His short game's fine. It's always like Jordan, it's up and down, but like when you need it, you can count on it. But the iron game, this is why what you said there was great. It was like one top 10 since February. Mm-hmm. This is Jordan Spieth. I mean, he's missed what, 4 of his last 7 cuts?
Crazy. Really is.
Yeah. And I think 2 of those in there were no cut events. So he's missed what, 4 of 6 or something. Like, I mean, it's not good. So. Yeah.
I want to spend a little time I want to get down the board just a little bit. I want to spend a little time here with, we get down home and there's Finau, Finau, we jump from 20. Now home is at 20 and there's Finau at 28. And then English, Harmon, as I mentioned, Sung Jae, Minwoo Lee, Siwoo Kim, Christian Bezuidenhout. I think as we get in, 30s and 40s, I'll start. If there's anybody in that little range that you like, I'm gonna lean into Bezuidenhout. Now I know he missed a cut at the PGA.
Yeah, not a good golf course for him.
Not a good golf course for him.
No.
But I do like what I think I'm seeing in the approach game. I do like what I'm seeing. I get the putter, short game, solid. I tend to think Bezuidenhout is moving the right way as well. There was a little jump I think in teachers. And I think he's kind of worked through that now, and I think we're seeing some form. Not a good course, Valhalla.
No.
Better course here. Is he going to win? I mean, you got to go up against Scotty, assuming he can stay out of jail.
Yep.
But I like the Zedenhorn. I'll sprinkle a little, but for a top 20 here, sign me up. Who would you take over him?
Well, I already said Hoagie, and that's kind of near that range. A little lower than that, I'm debating over Harris English and Brian Harmon. Mm-hmm. Both of them catch my attention. Harris is considerably lower, but is playing the type of golf that where he does well. Brian Harmon had no business making the cut last week, and he was good, mm-hmm. You know, on a golf course that was really, really difficult. And this is like his wheelhouse. This is just scoring with eight irons, right? Like, it's just like that's why that guy's on tour. That's why he was like the number one junior in the world when he was a kid. I mean, the kid, his iron game and his putter were, you know, really, really good. So, I mean,
it's surprising here though. I mean, T29 last year, missed the cut in 2022. He was T8 in 2021, T23, T31, just kind of going back to the last five. You know, a guy that's done pretty well here is Justin Rose. And, you know, and Justin Rose is that's the one guy I left off last week that I was kind of kicking myself because, you know, I know he hasn't been in great form, but he is a PGA kind of guy, right? You know, those kinds of courses. And he also plays very well here. We're talking three top 20s in the last four seasons. But you also mentioned Harris English, right?
Yeah, Harris, yep.
He is, what is he at, 30 right now, Harris?
Hang on.
He's T12.
33.
Yeah.
33.
And T12 here last year. I mean, talking about a guy, you need the putter. You're going to need the putter.
And his ball striking's been on right now. He was great at Valhalla. Looked good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's the type of guy that can go toe to toe. Like, everything is going to be through the Scotty lens, right? Like, mm-hmm. Scotty should win this thing by five. And like, if he was happy, he's got to be pissed last week. He should have won that thing last week by a mile. Yeah. But, you know, he went to jail. I mean, it's like ridiculous. I mean, you want to talk about like the definition of surreal. Like, how did that even happen? But I'll get on a tangent, I'm not even gonna go there. But all right,
like, you ever went to jail?
Have I?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've done things worthy of it, but I've never been caught. Right.
Like, I mean, how recent? How recent?
Oh, not that recent.
Oh, okay, not that way recent. Back.
I mean, I just like
you ran out the back door. You ran out the back door.
I mean, or leave 10 minutes earlier when you hear the police are coming, you know, like tomorrow's another day.
Looking ahead. I know that's good.
Yeah. I just, that whole thing is just like, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind.
It does blow your mind. Like, how does it even happen? I mean, how does pro golf get any stranger than it has to this point? I mean, it's like Will Zalatoris was a great interview. He's just like, man, every week he goes, we just can't have a normal week out here. It's always something, you know. I mean, the PGA Tour Lib, obviously the discussion, and then you got board members now jumping ship, and now, you know, like, what else could possibly happen? Oh, what's going on? Oh, wait, who got arrested? Scott? No. Yeah. He's in jail. What? I mean, what is it this week? Like, what's going to happen this week?
Huh? No, I mean, just for a second.
What's going to happen this week? I mean, let's just go there. Like, is something like ridiculous is going to happen this week? Just,
I mean, at the end of the day, right? Like, ask yourself this. What is the likelihood that at the end of the first quarter of the Super Bowl, right? In the middle of the game, Pat Mahomes is like, you know what? I forgot something in my car. I'm going to go run outside, and then I'm going to go grab it. I'm going to run back in, and then a local cop is going to detain me and then send me to jail. Right? Like, there are so many people in the golf ecosystem that are so critical of so many things that go on, and we are literally like this big in the world. And we were shown that very, very vividly on Friday. Right. Here's a guy who just won 4 out of 5. He won the Masters by 4 over one guy. He won by 7 over the rest of the field. This is our best player. This is our iconic guy of the last 2+ years. Right. And you had 5 to 7 to 10 people being spoken to by a member of the media and saying, do you know who that is? And they just took him and they cuffed him and stuffed him. Right.
Yeah.
You got people at home, they're complaining about 21 under, right? Nobody cares. Like, honestly, the championship the other day was so good, right?
Yeah,
coming down.
It was.
Like, off the top of your head, when's the last time that a major championship ended on the final putt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's been over 2 years, right? And we had that kind of theater, and people are worried about the score or the height of the rough. It's asinine. It's completely off. Like, it's so, like, off-brand for, like, what we need to do to come together. Like, right now, all the diversity in golf and the disruption and everything, like, what is it? Like, Zalatoris is, like, super on point.
Yeah.
My media bus was going in the other day. We're watching this. We're watching Darlington on SportsCenter, right? This is our moment on SportsCenter for golf. It's either, like, a live update or it's our number one star that nobody knows is getting arrested. Which is so off brand for him that he would even be that kind of person to even like, how did he even end up in that situation? It's like so crazy. As the bus is sitting in traffic on Shelbyville Road, I see Cam Young and Will Zalatoris running down the street. Like these are two guys that are top of mind in golf and they can't even get to the golf course.
Yeah.
Right. And we're worried about the score. Like, what are we doing? I just, there you go. You got me going. That's it. Scotty's a superstar now.
The score is a whole different discussion. I don't want to get into that.
But why does it matter? Let's get into it. Why does the score matter?
Well, I think it's just defining what championship golf feels like. Now, I think Valhalla, obviously the soft conditions, anytime you give soft greens, it's going to be a problem. I think the question is, is Valhalla, are they going to go back there? You think? I mean, I know Louisville shows out. I mean, the crowds are fantastic, and I give them tons of props. But the golf course itself, is it championship worthy in the future, considering the state of the game?
You know, you're right. I was thinking the same thing in November of 2020 when DJ shot 20 under at Augusta National. I was thinking, you know what? We probably don't need to go back here.
Well, but that was
because
that
somebody
was
shot 20 under.
But that was in the fall. I mean, that was
so it was wet. So it was wet.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just asking the question of, is it,
I don't know.
Is it 21? I love the tournament at the end. I did. I thought it was great. It's the Ardor on Sunday. But the golf course, you want the players to make the narrative, right? And show out. And they did. And so that's a great thing. You know, Xander showed out. He made big putts. Bryson charged. It was fantastic. There's Victor and his shot making and all that he does. You know, like, I'm with you, man. Like, I don't feel strong enough probably one way or the other. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate, I think, to some degree, because I know it gets pissed off and going. So I'm trying to pull on that string a little bit. But at the end of the day, it was a bizarre week early, but I think it finished up strong on Sunday. The Louisville crowds are fantastic. And they showed out. So props to them, in the whole bit. Now let's get back to Colonial.
All right.
Let's get back to Colonial. Ben Hogan crying out loud, who took a while to win his first major too, by the way. You know, it took old Benny a little longer to, I wonder if Ben ever went to jail. You think?
I mean, how old was he when he saw his dad put a shotgun in his own mouth? You know, like, imagine what that guy went through.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? Yeah. Jail would have been the least of his worries.
Yeah.
Golly.
I mean, I can't imagine. He is adored in Fort Worth. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
The mystique of Ben Hogan. And, God, I should have loaded in one of his swings. You know, I did this breakdown. It's funny. Now you got me thinking about Ben Hogan. I did this breakdown on Golf Channel one time about each part of his swing during Charles Schwab week. And we were trying to find, like, you know, in each part of his swing, who on tour looks like that particular part of his swing. And so, like, you know, Jonathan Bird is a big Hogan guy, so you could see some of that. And there's some other guys. But the one move that was the hardest to find was from the top. And we talk about the shaft pitching back.
Yep.
And in Hogan, like, his hands were here at the top, and then in transition, the next click, his hands really didn't lower much, but the shaft went back behind him. Like, it just laid down. Like, instantly. And so you talk about like this laying down and shaft pitch and shallowing out, right? All these buzzwords.
It's like Sergio.
Like that dude did it in spades, and he did it early in the downswing. And I couldn't find anybody until I found our boy, Charlie Hoffman. Yeah, exactly. That would have been the last person that I would have ever thought did that like Ben Hogan. Just like the last person I ever thought would have get arrested would be Scottie Scheffler. All right.
Yeah.
So who's not going to get arrested this week? Let me ask you who you would pick out of these names.
All right, hit me.
Batia, Dietrich, and Rose. I just talked about Rose. Rose played good last week, got a good history here. Like he's kind of finding it. We know he knows how to win. Dietrich ran up the board last week.
Yep.
I think Batia, like I'm still hanging on Akshay, but of those three, give me a lean.
Rose. And I was gonna ask you about Akshay because with good reason. Akshay is got a world of talent, and I know you're a big fan of his. But he hasn't been that great since he won.
Yeah,
he's been a little off, and he was, you know. So, this should be like, well, not necessarily wheelhouse because he's not that good of a putter, but like the approach game. I mean, this should be in his wheelhouse.
Should be a good spot for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should be. Like, but of those three, I was really impressed with the way that Justin Rose rose to the occasion. Pardon the pun, but I guess maybe intended. He looked really solid because he was in the group that was in front of on Sunday. So I walked with Bryson and Victor on Sunday, all 18 holes, and Rosie was in the group in front of us. And man, he struck the ball beautifully, just really, really nice. And the way he plays in major championships, and he obviously likes this place. He's good on positional golf courses. You look at some of his wins, Pebble being the most recent. He's just like the driver's always been kind of his bugaboo. When you pull that away from everybody, Justin Rose shows how good he really is at a world class and once, you know, at one time was number one in the world. So I'd say Rose in those three.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. You know, one of the guys that I think we're starting to get down here now in the 50s and 60s, there's two names that I had circled right away. One is Maverick McNealy, who I think is coming. I don't know if he's going to win this week, but I think Maverick McNealy is coming. And go ahead.
I think you need a longer golf course for Mav McNealy because he's been so good with the driver. And that's kind of what's led to, since his injury, what's led to his, like, why his name keeps popping for all of us. And that's why last week it was such a good place for him. I think his iron game, obviously the putter's great, but the iron game isn't at like an Akshay level or a Hoagie level. So like, you know, in that range there, you know, and like you got to love a guy like Aaron Rye, but can like Aaron Rye win with the putter that he has? I'm all over the guy that's plus 6,600. And you might be going there, so I'll let you say the name. But
are you going? So you're going to go to my next guy, Lucas?
No.
You're not going, Lucas.
No, I'm going. Okay. I'm going right there next to him, right next to him on the board there.
All right. So you're going Adam Scott,
Taylor Moore.
Well, Taylor Moore. Oh, so I went the other way. Taylor Moore's above Rye. Okay, there's Taylor Moore. All right.
Yeah.
So you're going Taylor Moore.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Taylor Moore here. What, he was 12th at Valhalla. He's made every cut this year. He's had some really nice tournaments. And you look at where he won, Valspar has got to be a huge comp for this golf course. I mean, look at Sam Burns, Adam Shank, all the guys that have played really well at both. I think Taylor Moore, with his scrambling ability and his putter and his approach ability, he's just really good on this style of golf course, and he's obviously in good form from last week. I really think that people are overlooking what Gil Hanse is going to do to the golf course. He is going to make around the green scrambling and scoring way more heavily than it ever has in the last 10 years, and I just need a couple guys that can – the subtleties of what he does. Like – the best comp, probably, when you think about it, it's a Perry Maxwell golf course, but then it's a Hanse restoration, is Southern Hills. And like, what did it take? Or like, what kind of golfers were good around there? Like Chris Kirk was really good there. Like that kind of golfer, right? Like I need that guy that's like really good from 50 yards and in, and is like that great approach. And then he, like off the tee, they just get it in play. They're not world class. They wouldn't have been a Valhalla guy, but like, you know. That's where my head's really at. That's where you'll see my card, like even with us, like with Harmon, and then you know, obviously I said Hoagie, and then I'm going here with Moore. Like there's some really strong themes here to go after Scotty.
I mean, Moore is not exactly a ball striking Jesse. Iron game.
He's been good lately.
He hasn't been that good. He hasn't been like he's not. How many guys right now? Last 50 rounds. All right.
Okay.
Proximity.
If you go 50, that's going to get into last summer, which is going to be he wasn't good. Right.
What'd I say? 50?
50. Yeah.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry. 24. Last 24 rounds. All right. So last 24 rounds. Strokes gained approach. He's 63rd in this field.
Okay.
I mean, strokes gained off the tee. Strokes gained off the tee is 18th. Now around the green, 9th. So I think you make a good point. You think Gil's gonna? You think around the green's gonna wait out more than it has historically? Is what you're saying?
I think that there's too much aerial architecture, and this when somebody like Gil comes in, that he brings the ground game back into play. Look at the changes he made on the 8th hole, the par 3. Like he brought the water back into play. Look at the jagged edges of the bunkers and the way that the land kind of now, like this is where all the architecture geeks hated Valhalla because you have bunkers like in the middle of grass rough fields. You know, like the ground never plays a part in that style of aerial golf, right? Valhalla is not it's an aerial golf course. You want ground game. And that's the most challenging. I mean, that's why Augusta is so good and why Scotty's so good when you have to play ground golf, right? Like, and I know people are gonna say like, oh, Keith, it's all played on the ground. No, it's not. Like when it's point and shoot, right? Like it's a different style of golfer and you have to be creative to play on the ground. You know, like there's nothing more difficult than like a 10-second golf shot, right? And if you understand what that means, then you know what I'm getting at. And like, that's where I get worried about some of these names that we're talking about that don't have the ability to do that. Cause I think Gil's really going to emphasize those things. Is it going to be dramatically different than the last couple of years? No, but over the course of 4 rounds, you're going to have to hit, let's say 8 to 10 shots that are going to be drastically different than the Colonial of old. So that's where my head's at.
I think Ryan Moore is going to finish higher than Taylor Moore.
Ryan Moore's been good.
Yeah. Like Ryan Moore is here's another name. We want to go on a little recent form.
Yeah.
How about Lee Hodges? Great week last week.
Oh man. And the week before too, right?
And the week before, yeah. I mean, now you're down here in 70-75 to 1. He's got to win. Is he going to go up and knock down? I mean, he's going to need every bit of that positive 7 putting.
Yeah.
Positive 7.6 approach that he had last week. And his putter's been really good the last 2 times out. Shout out Marcus Potter. I don't know. I mean, Lee Hodges is I would say playing the best golf of his year right now.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah, he wasn't strong to start the year. You're spot on, yeah. I mean, I almost feel like I wish I could have like 5 of these guys go after Scotty and they could play a scramble, you know, like so he can get close.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, it's just, you're trying. Yeah. You know, you're going to like, he has a good week. He's going to win. Now you're looking at it like, okay, he's going to have a good week, but God, can the guy just go berserk with just something, right? Does he have an in him to go berserk and the putter? Like Max Homer, can he go berserk Lee Hodges positive 7.6 with the approach game last week? Billy Horschel played good last week.
Horschel's on my radar for sure.
Horschel's on a little bit of a heater. He's got his game back and moving well. Eckroat, we're getting down in the 80s. You mentioned Chris and Kirk. Putnam's played okay here.
Putnam's played good here for sure. Yeah, that's a name here. No doubt. You know?
What do you make it? I mean, God, there's Cam Davis at 80. I mean, you know how much I love Cam Davis. Oh, God. I mean, you're just flipping a coin right now, aren't you, with him? I mean, what in the world?
I mean, you cannot flip coins against Scotty.
No.
Right? I create a model for, you know, to kind of reinforce some of the things that I'm looking at, you know, and if you go into these major categories that we would look at this week, right? Strokes gained par 4, Scotty, number 1. Birdie or better. Scotty, number 1 in the field. Tee to green, number 1. Approach, number 1. I don't know. Let's just throw some random ones out there. Opportunities gained, number 1. Green and regulations gained, number 1. Par 4 scoring from 350 to 400 yards. Scotty's number 1. Bogey avoidance, Scotty. Take a guess.
Number one.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I don't even know, like, in his prime, and I'm a huge Tiger guy, right? Like, in his prime, I don't know that Tiger would have ever been that complete.
Yeah. And now, by the way, his putter's gotten better. And his putter's gotten better, yeah.
Yeah, he's top third in the field for putting. I mean, the good news about this week is that half the field's going to make the cut, right? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. There'll be a lot of names that go after him.
So, two long shots here for you that I'm going to throw out to you.
Ooh, I like it.
Justin Lauer.
Okay. Makes sense. Perfect. It makes perfect sense.
I'm going to bet for a top 20. Sprinkle a little to win. Not much, because someone's going to have to tackle Scotty and wound his ankle or something. and Chan Kim. Those are my two long shots. Both down there around 150.
There's a lot to like about both of those. Yeah. For sure.
Those are my two guys. Chan Kim, Justin Lauer, bottom of the board. I'm not beating around the bush with anybody else. 150, sprinkle a little, top 20, and a win. Lee Hodges, I'm gonna sprinkle a little bit there. I like that. Taylor Moore is interesting. Take a little deeper on that. I love the Hoagie play. I think that's great. I think Bezedenhut's real this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Homa's going to knock off Scheffler. Those are my names.
I got a question for you. Do we have a minute?
Mm-hmm. Anything for you.
This would be a good spot for one Mr. Davis Riley. Do you have any insights for me?
Oh.
Do you have any insights for me as to his evolution? Because he'd be a guy.
He's
popped
that
a little lately, but this is a perfect golf course for Davis Riley, right? And I mean, you could throw a dollar on 350-1 and make $350. But I don't know. I was a fan of his game, and it's fallen so far off the radar.
Right. You know? Like just like so many, he changed. Like so many. And when I say this, it's no knock to any instructor at all. It's not.
Yep.
It's part of the business. And when players jump around, like that's, you always kind of say, okay, you look into it. And, but when they jump after playing really good golf, like that's when you're like, what in the hell is going on? Like Victor Hovland. Like yeah. Davis Riley, like what are you doing? Like why?
Yeah.
And so I said it at the time when Davis did it, and so I just maybe he's not thinking as much right now and kind of back to somewhat of a home base. But to your point, I mean, he did hit the ball better at Houston, finished 14th. Just down the road there, and then Byron Nelson, he was 30th. So look, he's back in Texas, you know, where he's. He's had his two best finishes of the year. Putter's been okay. A little spike in ball striking here and there.
I didn't know from a coach's perspective.
Come on.
I mean, the best example of your little soliloquy there is Colin Morikawa. You know, I mean, he went to Mark Blackburn from Rick, right?
Yep.
And Mark is probably the best teacher in the world, right? Or one of a handful of.
No, he's
right?
One of them for sure. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
100%. And that didn't gel. And he goes back to Rick, and then Collins playing better. He's playing significantly better than he was, you know, from the fall into now. And I know that he won the Zozo, but like, obviously that relationship was not gelling, you know. So it's interesting. Change isn't always the answer, I guess. I don't know. But I was curious about Davis. I've been thinking a lot about him lately and this week. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him, but
it does seem like the waters have settled down a little bit with him, right? It does seem he's in a better spot. Since the turmoil of you know some of his issues, particularly with ball striking. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I like Davis Riley. Beautiful golf swing. Beautiful. Oh, And that's the other thing. Like, that's where you just like, Jesus, like, really? Like Victor Hovland, like, before he, when he left Joe, he made it sound like his golf swing was like literally about ready to fall apart.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're one of the best ball strikers in the world. What are you talking about? Yeah, but you know, I got to compensate a little bit, you know, okay.
I mean, watching him and Bryson live the other day inside the ropes was like, God, that has to be one of the best rounds I've walked with in a long time.
Yeah.
The energy from the crowd. Oh, man, was that good. That was good.
Yep. And look, Bryson and the work that he's done with Dan, I think there's been a nice mix there. When those two got together, I felt good about it. Like, I thought that makes a lot of sense. And
agreed.
Man, anyway, you know, these guys, one thing that's for sure, man, it's not a matter if, it's when they're going to probably try something else. It's a tough gig out there. Got a lot of respect for him. Blackburn's doing a great job with his guys. And Como obviously is on a nice run right now. Love Dana Dahlquist. And, you know, those are just kind of some of the full swing guys. But it's kind of the same in the short game with, you know, some of the top guys out there, and Josh Gregory and Parker McLaughlin and, you know, putting guys, they can.
How about Phil? Phil saved Scotty.
Yeah, right? Phil Kenyon's done a great job with Scotty Scheffler, and Steven Sweeney's out there, one of the top putting coaches. And yeah, man, it's a tough gig out there. Golf is hard. You know, it's a hard game. And then I think sometimes the players make it even more difficult in their search. Sometimes it's warranted. I think with Xander, it was warranted. It was time. He had to disconnect there from his dad. It made complete sense. I think Justin Thomas was very similar in that way. Like, there's times it makes sense.
Yeah.
But more times than not, I don't think it does. You know, when players are jumping around. Scotty Scheffler made sense. He needed help with his putting. And so, like, there's examples. But, you know, just to change the change to go down a rabbit hole, I mean, that's where – it just gets my blood boiling. I mean, just like shooting 21 under at a major championship gets your blood boiling. And people saying, no, this is look like you need a nap. You need to go take a nap.
Well, it was a long week, but it's not the 21 under. It's not the score. It's what did we get on Sunday?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
You know, like everyone's complaining that wasn't a great championship. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
All right. We're into it, man. Summer's here. Yeah. Go take a nap. Charles Schwab. We'll get our bets in. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. Boom.